This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We're live. We're here. We are in the building. Ben warned us this morning he'd be a bit gored, but look, he's here.
Yeah.
He's on time.
I should get to just... Well done.
Not gaudy at all.
Speaking of which, Gord won't be here today.
No. You want to try and explain it? I didn't understand.
Can we first talk about Sia's masculine scent as he came in here?
Oh, gee, really?
Because, I mean,
oh.
Like Ron Burgundy just sat next to me.
Just
cheapest, yeah, lay off.
Okay,
Ron,
clearly.
Ron Burgundy.
It's like he just walked through a cosmetics aisle, rolled around like a dog in mud.
I tried something new today.
Well, what is it, Sia? Tell us the secret to your
drink. Izumiyaki. I've tried this morning.
Is he maybe two sprays next time?
Wait, I can honestly count how many I did. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Do you go through a bottle a week?
I feel like I'm being picked up by a rugby team, am I right here?
I don't care what the experts say. Like, supposedly with cologne, you aren't meant to smell it yourself, and other people
should smell it.
I don't care. I need to smell it myself. I need to get the vibe.
Yeah, I agree with you. You gotta know you've got that on. Otherwise, what's the
point? And it's a whole day ahead. Okay, so clearly it's making an impact.
Very good. Well done.
It's so overpowering. I'm tweeting Alyssa Milano right now.
For what strike are you part of now?
I feel like it'd be me too, just by you.
Oh, goodness. Gareth, what day is it today?
Today's a Wednesday, but I haven't felt what a Wednesday feels like for such a long time that I thought it was a Tuesday.
I genuinely
was confused when Ben sent a message on a little group saying I'm going to be late. I was like,
why are you here?
Yeah, I was like, why are you coming in on a Tuesday? It just completely slipped my mind that yesterday was Tuesday and we've already had a Monday. I honestly don't know how Wednesdays feel after these 2 weeks of public holiday Wednesdays.
Well, I thought it was Thursday.
See?
And I'm actually
What's going on?
I'm kind of happy it's Wednesday because I need more work days this week.
See, it's not me, yeah. It's not just me, it's everybody.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow is right. So, what's happening? I've realized I slept so well last night. I love it when that happens. Because sometimes
I really... bed really is paying off.
It is, huh? It's the best thing I've ever bought. Really. Mm. The best thing I've ever bought. Almost everything else, I get a bit of buyer's remorse afterwards. I'm like, why? I didn't really need that. This thing is delivering. It under-promised and over-delivered in such a big way. I love it. Man, I get into bed at night. Oh, I'm so happy. Mm. And you know, in winter, I'm looking forward to this winter because... So it's a better mattress, first of all. I told you I bought the mattress, right? I bought linen. Which is just the best thing ever.
Ooh.
No, really good bed. Listen, you don't need to live like a savage your whole life long. You don't. And for years, I didn't care. I told you I had this cheap-ass mattress. This thing was probably filled with straw and camel's pubic hair and barbed wire. And I would lie on it every night and go, this is fine. You know that picture of the dog sitting at the burning table with a cup of coffee going, this is fine? That was me with my bed. I went and I changed it out for a good mattress, which is just like, you feel luxuriant. There's no other way to describe it. The pillows. I've struggled with pillows my whole life long. I bought the ones with the feathers in them. Bought the ones with the foam, the pieces of foam in them, which are terrible, by the way. I bought the ones with other crap, some
memory foam.
No, those are the ones I've settled on, and they work. But they're special kind of memory foam. It's super soft. And what it does is it almost keeps your head in a position where your neck is never strained. I don't know how it works. And it's thin. It's not a thick pillow.
And you also remember to wake up more often for the show nowadays.
It's working. And my life has improved.
It's a win-win-win situation.
I am a big fan of a proper good night's sleep. I'll tell you what. Just the best thing I've ever done for myself. If I could go back in time, I would do this at age 18.
Oh. Mm. Soon you might even change your tune about sleeping medication.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't have an expensive bed when you're young.
No, you don't appreciate it.
Because you're laying so much cable that
that's true. You ruin it.
You're messing it up.
You ruin it.
That is,
yeah, you're in it. No, it's true.
That's one of our strangest phrases all of life.
That is the boyish, most boyish thing I've ever heard you say.
We're talking about earning a bed in
laying cable.
Laying cable.
We're talking about earning a bed in your early years.
Do you boys ever think about the woman in this instance?
Of course.
How sexy does that sound? Hey, do you want to lay cable?
Are you kidding?
I'm 37 with my youth behind me. I don't need to sound sexy right now.
Yeah, Ben doesn't care.
Yes, you do.
I still care because for me it's all about her. That's what you're after. That's what you're doing it for.
Well, it's always about her, but why go through a good bed?
No, I agree.
Laying cable.
No, just you need to buy something
cheap,
something robust yet somewhat forgiving. There's an ad campaign.
I eat better than the dining room table.
I mean, like if Sealy or I don't know how many Baserta or whatever, they should just have the bang
bed. They should sell the really expensive beds, the kind that I was talking about now, and then they should sell these. You know, this is robust but forgiving.
Yeah,
this is perfect for one night stands bed.
But it's like the bang bed.
Yeah,
it has
right.
a variety of colors
and sizes.
It's not overly overly dear, as old people would say.
I think you are so lucky that you've had women who give it up to you. I mean,
give it up.
They're not giving anything up.
What is this?
They're volunteering for this action as well.
Yeah, okay. You're lucky you've had women volunteer.
You know, your language is just as bad as Ben's, frankly.
Laying cable and giving it up.
What are you...
It's almost like we're coercing women against their will here.
This is not an area of your expertise here. We don't get involved when you talk about Oprah.
Yeah.
I think I'm more well-versed with a female mindset.
Are you?
Oh, yes.
How? Because you have sisters.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still certain I have more estrogen in my body than testosterone.
So, okay, can I get something
Jeepers.
Out of this?
Wow. Thanks for filling us in this, yeah.
No, you have plenty.
On the obvious.
I've seen CA. When he gets competitive, like, you know he's got plenty of testosterone, trust me. When CA attacks, it's ugly.
But it's how he gets competitive proves he's got more estrogen, though.
Yeah, there we So I don't go around laying cable.
I got into an argument yesterday with somebody about how men and women see things differently. Which, I mean, they do, obviously, but I decided to be obstinate, and I said, no, we're the same. I got into this whole argument about it, that, women derive a feeling from what they see. Men just see it.
Give us an example.
Like, we were looking at this document that we're going to put out, and we're looking at the design, and we're looking at the content and everything else. And, you know, I was more interested in the content than the design, and... Women are more interested in the design, generally speaking. I know this isn't true for every... Because I know I'm going to get someone on the line now. I'm a woman and I believe in the content. Yes, I know. But generally, women respond to the way something makes them feel. This is proven evolutionary psychology.
Yeah.
Men respond to the way something is. It's for them, it's very practical. For women, it's extremely... not everything, but most things have some emotional component to them. That's the way we're built. That's why women have certain strengths that men don't have, and men have certain strengths women don't have. Mm-hmm. Women have an intuition that men struggle to find, to the degree that women have it. And these differences, I think, are to be celebrated. The fact that everybody wants to be the same, and I was just being obstinate in my conversation yesterday. But it did come up, and I thought, you know, it's worth remarking on that... We've discovered, and there are obviously all these books about like men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and that shit that was written decades ago already, about how we interpret the world differently and how men are really looking for either power or status. That's number one for men, no matter who and where and when. If you have a penis, you're looking for status and power because that gets you what you want as a man.
Oh, you're always looking for measurables.
Yes, correct. But it's a pecking order. It's a hierarchy. Mm. Men are extremely hierarchical. They're interested in being in the top of the hierarchy. And even the weak men like to manipulate things at whatever level they're at. With women, it's about different things. It's about security. It's about the quality of relationships. Like, men don't really give a shit about the quality of relationships. They might give a shit about the primary relationship in their life, you know, with their wife or girlfriend or whoever it is. But women prioritize the quality of relationships. Women have their friends, they have their family, they have their husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is. And those are their reasons to start the day, right? For men, it's what am I going to get today? what am I going to achieve today, and what kinds of things can I dominate today? This is kind of how I'm in. Whether you're a sportsman or you're a CEO or you're a guy who works in a coal mine, you're out there to do the work.
You're looking to crush it.
crush it.
Yeah. Here we go with that language again.
Yes, to lay pipe.
Lay pipe and lay, crush it.
Laying cable. Chief, both of you are embarrassing.
So I think this stuff is fascinating. And for some reason, some people get really, really upset when you talk about the differences between men and women. They're like, they get very offended. They're like, yeah, but look at, and then they find an example of someone who breaks the rule. But I always say when you find someone who breaks the rule, that person in a way makes the rule. The reason you're quoting them, the reason you're bringing them up is because they're so different.
Yeah.
In other words, you haven't found an exception. The exception has proven that there's a rule going on here. The fact that you need to call them out on that exceptionism is precisely why all the others fit the rule. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but it also comes back to this bullshit equality thing that everyone's trying to get at. It's like, you can't be different. We're all the same. We must be the same. But it's not. Especially in the sexes, and that should be celebrated.
Well, who would want us to be the same? Isn't that one of the reasons we find each other attractive, by and large?
Imagine if Sierra and I, just in this instance, we would be the same.
Right. I mean, you'd be marinated in perfume.
Be hungover and unreliable.
Hey, Simba, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no talk.
Yeah, how's it going in San Diego?
It is good. Just been working a lot. I haven't spoken to you guys in almost a year now.
I know. I thought that you'd found someone else.
Yeah, I think the last time we chatted...
Oh, no.
I think the last time we chatted, you'd just been to Zim, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I just come back from Zim at that point. Holy shit, lots of changes.
Yeah, it's good. It's such a great place. Aren't you sad that you moved to America?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm telling you, man. I just miss not having reliable electricity. I miss dirty water.
Yeah, you miss the cholera and the Ebola and the government officials ripping you off at every turn. Sure, of course. You want to go back to Zim, don't you?
You know, it's funny. Like when I talk to a lot of people from Zim, you know, when people ask them, like, oh, do you miss your country or do you miss home? And I hear a lot of people, you know, they kind of pander and they say things like, well, you know, it's home and I really love it. One day I want to go back, and I can't relate to that anymore.
Tell me, is everything in flames because President Donald Trump is the executive in charge over there at the moment? Is everything burning down? Is the country in a disaster? Are people running, screaming in the streets, putting out flames on their backs?
Well, you know, it's like there's imaginary flames because you talk to people, especially in California, you talk to people and it's like, you know, the world is crumbling around them, and you literally ask, hey, what's wrong? What's you know, where's this fire? And it's just, I don't know. I don't get it. But there's a sense of panic on the coasts that you just don't see anywhere else.
They genuinely like, I've been traveling a lot. They think that they're at the Battle of King's Landing in California. They really do. They think like Trump is Queen Cersei, and they're in huge shit, and there's a dragon coming, and it's all going to be a disaster. Everything's going to burn up, and we're all going to die. I mean, I've spoken to friends of mine on the East Coast, because I don't have a lot of friends on the West Coast. I think most of them are lunatics. New Yorkers, and remember, Trump's a New Yorker. These New Yorkers they think Armageddon is just around the corner. And I say to them, but, you know, statistically, things look okay. No. You don't understand. Shit is bad,
well,
they say.
I mean, that's the funny part. People are making more money than they've ever made before. Right. People have more access to more goods, more luxury goods than they've ever had before. But for some reason, you get online or you get on the news and you think it's all crumbling. But when you're outside and, you know, people, it's the strangest. It's like two different worlds.
Isn't it also like in social media versus the real world? Because I go out into the streets in South Africa and I don't see like racial hatred and women and men fighting with each other and, you know, all this social justice shit that you see on Twitter. I never see that in real life. I never meet those people, like these woke scolds who go around telling everybody that they aren't woke enough and that they're all racists and bigots and sexists and transphobes and homophobes and all of that stuff. Whenever I go out into the street, I never meet people like that. It's like they don't exist. But online, you think that everyone's like that.
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, so last year, I think about April, I remember specifically April of last year, you guys had a specific show where you were all talking about social media, which comes up a lot, but, you know, really thinking about quitting social media. And that very week, I canceled my Facebook, I deleted my Instagram, and it's so strange. Like, I don't walk outside with my spine kind of up and ready to have a battle. Like, I mean, sometimes, right. I mean, that would happen, you know, you get off of social media and you assume you're going to walk outside and people are going to be up against each other.
Yeah.
And it's been like the biggest release. Like it's been over a year now and it's just insane.
Yeah. I think we've got at least, and I'm impressed that you just quit the whole thing because that's hard to do. You sort of disconnect, especially when you're living overseas and a lot of your friends and family is still over here.
Yeah, that's the tough part was like with Facebook, my justification, which I still hold on to was, you know, most of my family's all over the place and a lot of old friends from high school, and it's great to be able to keep up. But, you know, what I realized is for me, it's not like my work has nothing to do with my social media. So, right. You know, I feel bad for you guys with, you know, there's kind of the battle of there's the professional side of it. But, you know, canceling Facebook was probably the best thing I've done. I still have my Instagram and everything, but I've deleted it from my phone. I'll access it, you know, once or twice a week when I, you know, from my laptop. And I'm telling you, it is, you see the world in a completely different way.
Your life is better. Well, okay, so I'm sure you called in with a specific agenda.
Yes,
because
you called in talk off, Gareth.
All we've
PGA
done,
champs this week.
All we've done is like put words in your mouth and ask you questions. So go on.
Well, first of all, I'm glad you ate crow, Ben. I'm impressed, and I appreciate that you stood up and you apologized about, well, not necessarily apologized, but accepted the whole Tiger Woods thing.
Sure.
I think that was probably the highlight of my year.
Okay, you're having a slow year then.
Yeah. And my challenge for you is at some point you need to come out here. And whenever you come out to the States, we have to go to the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Open.
Yeah, Simba, I'm so torn right now. Okay, so
Waste Management, that's the best tournament.
So it's like probably my longest and best golfing mate, it's his 40th next year. So we want to go to the Masters. But trying to get to the Masters is becoming so, so difficult and so expensive. And it's just hard because there's a group of us. So, I mean, if I were to go by myself, it might be easier. So we try to put that together. So we have to have a States trip. But, I mean, if it's going to be exorbitant, then I just can't justify that. But if going to America is definitely in the plans the next couple of years, no doubt. Waste management.
Masters,
yeah, I mean that is pretty exciting because that's like the biggest party in golf.
Yes. So, you know, okay, so I agree with you on the Masters. The Masters is like the go-to, but especially with Gary being your stepdad or whatever he is, or if you know Gary Player, you might be able to get in there, but it's almost impossible. I signed up for the lottery, but people are telling me it's taken, you know, 5 to 10 years to even get close to getting in.
Well,
so
exactly, and there's four of us, yeah, so it's tough.
For accessibility, I would definitely say, you know, Waste Management is great. It's just so much fun. But anything on the West Coast is a lot of fun, and it's a good time of year to come because it's kind of a down season, so flights and everything are so much easier. But yeah, if you do come to the Phoenix, to the Waste Management Open, please, please come and join, and I'll show you a good time in Phoenix.
Well, I'm sold, Gareth. I won't be here next February.
February? Right.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You'll have a good time.
Just go throw it out there right now.
Okay. There we are.
Might be missing.
Simba, we got to go. Thanks, man.
Hey, love you guys. Talk to you soon. And I'm still listening. I haven't left you guys.
Good man. All right. Thank you very much.
Every day.
You reassure me because I seriously was going to stop doing the show. And now you've convinced me it's worth staying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. I missed it last week.
All right. No problem. Thanks, man. Bye.
Cheers, guys.
Awesome.
Simba from San Diego in the U.S. of A., originally from across the border in Zim. So I got this message from Harrit, who emailed us and said he wanted to correct me on something I said yesterday. And I always love to learn new things and I like to be corrected when I'm wrong, just like I like to correct other people when they're wrong. That's how we learn. And Gerrit sent me an interesting article about mitochondrial DNA, which I did not know. And apparently this is quite new research, so it might not just be me who doesn't know this. Scientists have long thought children inherited mitochondrial DNA exclusively from their mothers, since mitochondria from the father's sperm are usually destroyed after fertilizing the egg. All right, so there I was wrong in the first place, because I said there were some other means that they used to propel themselves in energy. Sperm, remember? We were talking about this yesterday.
Yes.
So apparently in rare cases, but only in rare cases, dads can contribute mitochondria to the cell as well.
Oh.
For now, the consequences of inheriting mitochondria from both parents aren't known, but it is the exception, not the rule. Mitochondrial disease researcher Paldeep Atwal spotted the paternal signature after examining DNA from a woman who came from the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. DNA in a cell's nucleus is inherited equally from both parents and contains all the genetic instructions for building a body. Mitochondria have their own DNA too that contains some of the genes needed for building and running the organelles being the mitochondria. The woman's cell weirdly contained two types of mitochondrial DNA, some from mom and some from elsewhere. So they did a couple of tests and they found out it actually came from dad. How's that for interesting?
Hmm.
Yeah. So they examined the father's mitochondrial DNA, found he was the source of the mystery mitochondria. The woman's brother also inherited this from her father. We thought, what on earth is going on? Because they didn't know about this. So he got in touch with a mitochondrial disease expert at Cincinnati's Children's Hospital Medical Center. Turns out they'd examined patients from two other families in which fathers had handed mitochondria down to their children. Altogether, they found 17 people in three families who inherited 20 to 76% of their mitochondria from dad. So that's fascinating. And completely different to what we've been taught in science. We're starting to figure out things that we thought were, this was established science, and now we're learning new things. So there we go. All right, thanks for that,
something Karen. New every day.
Very good. Five things, you want to do them?
Yeah, Bob.
Yes, please, right. Gareth.
Five things you need to know. First of all, the African National Congress Youth League in Etekwini has called on Mayor Zandile Gumede to resign after she was charged with corruption, racketeering, and fraud. Really, what the ANC should do now is just tell us who isn't, because that list is shorter. Just give us a list of people who are not involved in corruption, fraud,
such
and
a
racketeering.
Good point, because then you've got something to aspire to as
right.
well.
Right, and then we also know, like, because everybody talks about the good ANC and the bad ANC. You know, you had this whole sales pitch going on from people like Peter Bruce before the election, that if we just support Cyril, that he'll be able to clean up the ANC. But how about we get a comprehensive list? And I know that the corrupt list is going to be way too long. I mean, we've got, you know, the whole NEC, we've got every premier, we've got all the mayors. These are all rotten, rotten people. So I would rather look at the list of those exceptions to that rule, the people who are good. And can we just have a list of, I don't know, maybe they're 20, maybe they're 40, maybe if they really, maybe they can find 100 clean people in the ANC. That would be something. Then we know who we're talking about.
And save our time.
Yes, and then people could aspire to be like them rather than to be like all the people we've met over the last 15 years in ANC politics. That would be great. So apparently the Etekwini ANC Youth League Regional Secretary has said the conditions of Gumede's bail would interfere with her work as a mayor. This is clearly a problem. She's in charge of, what, the third biggest city in South Africa? Durban is a very important strategic operation for South Africa.
It's a huge port as well.
It's massive for a number of reasons. Here's the problem. Just last week, during the elections, the municipal workers of Durban were trashing the streets because a bunch of ANC veterans, MK veterans, had been appointed to jobs in the city that they were not qualified to take. Because this woman is rotten to the core by the sounds of things. She has actually handed herself over to the Hawks in connection with corruption. You know it's bad when she handed herself over to the Hawks.
Then you think it's an illness because you can't do anything without being corrupt.
Imagine. So it's amazing. She and Mondli Mthembu, who's the ANC deputy secretary in the region, both handed themselves over. It's just unreal. So they've asked the ANC Youth League, said, please, just step down, just clear out of the way. Maybe the young people in the ANC are just sick of this too, because they've also been kept out of offices because they're young and they're not you know, they're not, they don't have struggle credentials and that kind of thing. So they don't get an automatic ministry, for example. You know, and if you're honest, in the ANC, there's not much of a pathway to power for you.
No, but they, as you saw from the people they put forward for their cabinet pre-election, old, rotten faces.
Yeah.
Nothing new, nothing interesting.
Now, I feel bad, but I also really think this is just a non-story. The Congress of the People, that's COPE's General Secretary, Papi Kganare, denied there were plans to recall the leader, Mosiwe Lekota, at the organization's National Executive Committee meeting next week. Of course, they did very badly.
But we were also worried about them.
Very badly in the election. Why were we worried about them? Not really, were we?
No.
Well, I'm just sad for them because this this party started with such hope. Do you remember COPE managed to garner thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of votes in that first election? Apparently, there are plans by some of the party's leaders to stop Lekota from returning to parliament because they do have a seat or two. They were not happy with the association he'd created between the party and AfriForum, which they blamed for the party's poor showing at the polls. From an impressive 30 seats in 2009, the party's seats have dwindled to just two after the last election. But if you get rid of Mosiwe Lekota, what really is COPE? I'm sad to say this for their...
Exactly.
That what is COPE without Mosiwe Lekota? It's like saying, you know, what
IFP.
Is... Yeah, what is the IFP without Mangosuthu Buthelezi? It's just nothing. So go ahead. I mean, nobody knows who number two is in COPE. Do you?
Well, no one really knows the number two of anyone.
Do you know who anyone in COPE is except Mosiwe Lekota?
Well, we're going to see whoever the number two in the IFP is over the next couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Let's see.
But the ANC doesn't know who their number two is. There's a whole bunch of people who will literally kill each other.
That's true.
To be there.
That's a good point.
I mean, if Musi was to be thrown out, who's the number two of the DA?
Now, I wish we still had Simba on the line for this story, but Grace Mugabe... wife of former Zimbabwean ruler Robert Mugabe has been accused of attacking an employee at the family's home.
Again? Yeah.
No, well, this is back in 2017, but she is now, there's a trial going on. She faces an arrest warrant in South Africa, of course, for her alleged assault with a power cable on a female model in Joburg in 2017 as well. Yeah, but papers have just been filed in the court, the High Court of Zimbabwe, by lawyers for someone called Shipukai Chirudza, who alleges that Mugabe used her fists and then her shoe in a prolonged attack that left her face pouring blood.
Oh, Grace.
Mugabe allegedly attacked this woman after accusing her of milking her husband because she had accepted a cash wedding gift from him, the papers say. This is a terrible person. I don't want to gild the lily here, but this Grace Mugabe is a very heinous, evil person.
And she's someone I feel like not passing the buck here, but has been enabled for a long time in her life. What sort of entitlement do you feel?
Well, she married Bob. That's, she thinks she deserves everything because she married Bob. Now, remember, she's 53. He's 95. Mm.
The law doesn't apply to her.
No,
she feels like she can go around bashing people if she doesn't get her way.
Yeah.
It's very toddler behavior.
Mm. Well, Gareth, like all good journalists, I have corroborated your story here.
Oh, yes, tell me more.
On myzimbabwe.co.zw, and the story is here, and yes, you're right. It's got to cross-reference these things.
Thanks, Ben.
Everyone who thinks that maybe Grace isn't such a bad person, myzimbabwe had the
what
same.
What a flattering picture of the couple.
There's this great picture. Go to myzimbabwe, which is always a good thing to do. There's this really great picture of Grace and Bob, and then you see the hand. Grace is dismissing him like a naughty dog.
Yeah, well, he's 95. She doesn't have to listen to him anymore, and he's not president, so she doesn't have to put up with his sexual advances either.
95 having sex? Ew.
Cobwebs. Can you? I mean, just imagine.
Spare me.
Imagine the stink. The stink of Bob's junk area. Just imagine.
Doesn't he have syphilis as well, though?
And I don't know. That's
one of
syphilis?
The longest running rumors around
All
Bob.
All right. Let's carry on. Here's another thing you need to know. The city of Cape Town on Tuesday said approximately 9,000 council-owned rental properties were going on sale. They include freestanding and semi-detached houses in areas across the city, including Guguletu, Valhalla Park, Mitchell's Plain, Haderveld, and Nyanga. Now, I've never understood why the city council needs to own property that is available for accommodation and rental.
Exactly.
Why does the city need to own buildings? This is outrageous.
The city is now a landlord.
Yeah, as if they aren't already the landlord because you have to pay municipal taxes and water and electricity and all of that stuff. The fact that cities in South Africa own property other than the municipal properties, like the place where they dump the rubbish, or the city hall, or the offices of various departments in that municipality, they don't need to own residential property.
Mm.
Sell it. And the people who live in those properties can buy them. This is where we have this idea that the best place, the safest place to put things, is with government. Not a good idea. Have we not learnt our lesson?
Screaming from the rooftops.
Transnet, SAA. The minute you put anything under the curatorship of government, including private property, guess what happens? It gets destroyed, it gets not maintained, or it gets devalued. That's absolutely incontrovertibly true. So the last thing you want is for government to own more. You want them to own less. You want them to have less control, because their control usually means a disaster. Let's bear that in mind, please. So well done to the city of Cape Town. Over the last 5 years, the city has sold more than 5,000 of the roughly 14,500 units identified as saleable. So wow. Congratulations. That's real progress. People wonder whether politics matters or not. Well, the DA may be shit at a lot of things, but they are way better at this than the ANC. I saw Helen Zille was named best premier. Not that that's a tough competition in this country either, but she really is going to be missed in the Western Cape because she ran that place like a well-oiled machine. And things like this would not have happened if Helen Zille wasn't in the background, guaranteed.
If Helen Zille were to fly dragons, I think King's Landing would still be intact as well. Well,
absolutely.
I think she's together. Yeah. I think she's got her stuff together. She's weird, but in a good way.
Yeah. The MTV Music and TV Award nominations. Now, does anyone care?
Sorry, I really couldn't.
We watch?
Okay, well, Sia might care.
And there were crickets in the room. Okay.
Now, the reason I say nobody cares is because the MTV VMAs, isn't that what they're called? Or
those
MMAs, the MTAs, I don't know what they are. Whatever the fuck
music,
they are.
There's TV, so, there's
first of all,
film.
MTV's not a thing. Let's stop pretending that that's a thing. It's a non-profit organization now that's run by Viacom. It really is. It's a sad little NGO. It used to be, MTV used to be this powerful channel that used to create rock stars and pop stars and rap stars, and it would be the leader of, you know, if MTV released a statement about something, music people all over the world would go, oh, let's listen, let's read, let's pay attention. Now MTV is this bullshit, like it's a rubbish second-rate channel with reality TV shows about people's houses and
teen mom
and tan
mostly just pregnant teenagers.
It's bad. It's a bad channel. There's nothing about that channel that would appeal to anyone who isn't mentally ill. And the fact is that MTV's movie and TV awards have about as much credibility in Hollywood or elsewhere. And let me tell you, it's not hard to get credibility in Hollywood. But I repeat myself. The fact is that MTV is just nothing. And to give an award to someone, I mean, I don't know who even goes to these awards. So here's what they've done. They've said that apparently blockbusters are what are all the rage at the moment. Obviously, Avengers Endgame is nominated for 4 what they call gongs at this year's MTV Movie and TV Awards. And they say that there are categories like Shazam, Black Klansman, and Captain Marvel who are up for the best movie prize in that category, the best movie award. Is up for anyone's taking, as Avengers will go up against Spider-Man, All the Boys I've Loved Before, Us, and Black Klansman. Robert Downey Jr. will also be hoping to score Best Hero. Before he can add the trophy to his cabinet, though, he'll have to beat off stiff competition from, who do you think? Captain Marvel, Brie Larson.
Did you just say Usher?
Sorry, I'm trying so hard to stay up with this conversation.
Okay, sorry, Ben. Ben's falling asleep.
I'm trying to follow.
Maisie Williams, who plays Arya Stark on Game of Thrones.
Best Kill of King.
Shazam, Zachary Levi, and Black Klansman, John David Washington. So, best villain, who would that be?
R. Kelly, definitely.
Jodie Comer Villanelle from Killing Eve. Don't know that. Joseph Fiennes. Handmaid's Tale. Again, these are just so boring. And then Thanos from the Avengers. That's Josh Brolin, of course. Lupita Nyong'o, she's Red in Us. That's apparently very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the list. So, I mean, if anyone's excited about MTV, there we go. At least we've mentioned it.
Thanks, Gareth. Nice and balanced of you.
But while we're on Game of Thrones and all the rest of it and sci-fi and superheroes, apparently Emilia Clarke says she has bad posture from putting her head down and trying to avoid being recognized in public.
Oh.
The Khaleesi.
Isn't it just the weight of her eyebrows? I think she's telling a lie there.
Now, not to digress, but you see the same feeling you have with Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
I just oddly have that feeling with Emilia. No. She has this pinched smile
that
just seems fake all the time.
All right. Calm down.
And I just can't.
You are so
sexy. Aggressive.
I can't.
You know, always her scathing of the woman you are.
All right, let's get...
But yet here's someone who follows Jussie Smollett on Instagram.
Yes, he does.
We know your types, yeah.
All right, let's get into Ben's sport. What do you got for us today,
right,
Ben?
Gareth? Well, so running of the Bulls away from Loftus, 15 days to Cricket World Cup and PGA Championship preview.
Here's Ben's intro theme.
Right, let's start off with a little Q&A, shall we? What's stronger, the Euro or the Rand?
Obviously the Euro,
okay,
would.
All right, that's a good one.
Okay, good, sure.
Just one question, you got it right, Gareth. So, with the World Cup every single time it comes around, after that, you know, a whole bunch of Springbok rugby players are going to go, au revoir, or say, tot ziens, or whatever they're going to say. Or say nothing, basically, because it's professional sport, they'll just go to work somewhere else. So, Andre Pollard, he can be making as much as 20 million rand going to France.
That's amazing.
Good on him. Ibn Esabeth's going to France as well.
Or here he could play to an empty stadium.
An empty stadium. Maybe get a gobby afterwards at outside the Oost Pavilion and probably make a million a year. Get very more.
No. Probably, yeah, not as good a deal.
Not the same, okay? But this is going to happen. And it's not a mystery anymore. So let's go. Let's cut the bullshit of, oh, if only we could keep our players. Look, we can't. We just have to restructure in a way that our BOC team can always stay strong and our local tournaments can just produce local talent. If that local talent goes elsewhere, that's fine. We don't own them. We're not the Molly Molly monster. We can't just keep people in against their will. They want to go, they go. It's great. They develop skills. Look at someone like Cheslin Kolbe. That guy, I mean, everybody wants him in the BOC team. Why? Because he went overseas, toughened up, and became a better player. We saw it a long time ago. Percy Montgomery. Hmm. He went as Percy as the Grey. He came back as Percy the White, and he won as a World Cup. This is what happens, guys. So this is fine.
But now he's Percy the White.
Now he's Percy the...
The Brown.
Oh. Percy Instagram, check him out. Bay life, make it your best life. So it's something that obviously we have to accept, but it's always about what's that next level going to be, and that's always the big challenge for teams. So yeah, the Bulls are going to lose a whole bunch of players. Here's Sneyman, he's also going to Japan for a year, as is Jesse Creel next year, so they're going to go chase the yen. And then Lotte Jager, Jason Jenkins, they're off to the English teams. No way, Jason Jenkins also going to Japan. Okay, so Japan's taking a lot of people as well. Wow. It's not just the French, but that's fine. They're all going. Next level's going to come through. It just makes it much more difficult for us to pull crowds, really. I know that we often say that, it's just diabolical and no one wants to go to rugby, but then again, you've got to have incentives in life. So what's the fan incentive? Really need to make it up because, as you see, players are going. It's like a turnstile and it's going to get worse in the World Cup. So, you know, beat the narratives now. And just suck it up and go, yep, they're all going. They're all going. And we're going to start from scratch after that.
Fair enough.
But hey, Mornay Steyn is coming back to Loftus. So there's also that. Rugby taketh and rugby also giveth.
Oh.
Slightly. I mean, obviously, Mornay Steyn's in the twilight of his career. He's been playing in France. I think he was a stud Francais for about 100 games. He's now playing fullback because he's getting nudged out there a little bit. And he'll return because, let's be honest, no one's got any faith in Marnie Lubbock. It's at the Bulls right now. Because he's the backup fly after Pollard. So,
Marnie Lubbock.
Mornay Steyn's coming back. And even Russie's like, yeah, good score. So Mornay will be back. That'll bring another 15 to 20 people back to Loftus at least. So it's not all lost. It's not all lost, people of Pretoria. Not all lost. In cricket, it is 15 days until the Cricket World Cup starts. I am hugely excited. Obviously, all the big leagues in football are finished. But we've still got so much sport to look out for this year. Obviously, we spoke about the Rugby World Cup at the start of this little podcast. And now Cricket World Cup, 15 days. What kind of a World Cup are we to be expecting? Well, we mentioned a few weeks ago, it's going to be runs, runs, and more runs. No, it's not because of poor food. It's because of the pitches they're going to set up. Now, England are currently playing Pakistan in a little teaser. And the scores are big. So yesterday, Pakistan scored 358 for 9. England swatted that away with 6 wickets in hand, 31 balls remaining. Mm. This English team really is just looking so good. I mean, you've got Jason Roy, he's in form right now. That ginger Johnny Bairstow has become a real, real talent, like a world player.
Okay.
Solid guy. He scored 128 yesterday off 93 balls. Then you got Joss Butler. He wasn't even playing yesterday because they were trying new people. You got Valse Morgan, obviously leading the team. You got Stokes, Folks, Wokes, and all these other blokes. They are going to be a very tough team to beat. But can they contain it with the ball? I think that's the only way you can beat these guys. So you're going to basically put them into bat first. Hopefully skittle them out slightly less than 350 and then hope for the best in the run chase. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the battle of the bat because that is what cricket is nowadays. You've got to have high scores because that's what the fans want. And I say the fans loosely because your purist doesn't mind watching a game where a team gets bowled up for 220 and then defends 220. That's fine because it's a challenge of bat and ball. But because you've got to play, obviously, I don't know, usher through the speakers and have flames coming out of stuff and girls bringing their heels to their ears. You need big runs because sixes and fours makes the action. And that's cricket nowadays, in case you weren't watching for a while. In other sports, obviously, it is a big, big week for golf. It's the PGA Championship. Now, the PGA Championship this year is being played at a course called Bethpage Black. It's the black course on Bethpage Black because it's so dark and dangerous and difficult. There's actually a sign, as everyone knows by now, that says, warning, the black course is an extremely difficult course, which we recommend only for highly skilled golfers.
Wow.
Well, thankfully, all the most highly skilled golfers in the entire world will be there this week. And, of course, Brooks Koepka is the defending champion. He'll be paired with, golf is mostly pairs, but in the first two rounds, always playing threes. So how do you say it? They're grouped? They're threed?
Yeah, they're threed. Yeah, that'll work.
So Brooks Koepka's being right. Threed with...
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
He's been freed with Francesco Molinari and Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods hasn't played since the Masters, where he obviously won and changed the world of golf forever. For about the fourth or fifth time that Tiger changed the world of golf. He changed it through brilliance, he changed it through horse, he changed it through injury, and now he changed it through brilliance again. That's a full circle moment right there.
Superb.
I just counted on my hand. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Tiger, Molinari, and Koepka. And the great thing was that last year, Tiger took Koepka right to the end until Koepka basically just flexed his biceps and won at a canter. So that'll be the big grouping to watch out for. You can also watch guys like John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, they're all together. Bryson DeChambeau, Kevin Kisner, and Pat Perez all together. And Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, and Jason Day. There'll be a whole bunch of South Africans on show as well. Justin Harding is there. He'll be playing in his second PGA Championship. Of course, he was our best placed South African at the Masters. Justin Thomas has pulled out with a wrist injury, though. That's a shame. He won this a couple of years back and was looking to kind of get back into it because he's been a bit quiet of late by his own standards. So Sergio Garcia and Adam Scott will now have to share a whole day together. Unlucky Adam Scott. So that'll all be kicking off. It's on the east coast of America, so it's just north of New York. So the time difference won't be too bad. But Tiger Woods is dealing with a bit of controversy this week. So some bartender at his bar, he's got a restaurant bar in Florida. One of these bartenders got really drunk and then lost control of his car and died. Tragedy, thoughts and prayers, all that kind of stuff. But now the family of this guy are now trying to sue Tiger directly because the bar enabled him to get drunk and served him booze to the point of intoxication. So Tiger's girlfriend is the manager of this place. So apparently, word is, suggestions, lies, accusations, that this guy knew Tiger personally and days prior to that he was drinking with Tiger and his parents are saying they knew he was a drunkard yet still served him booze.
Yeah, it's not his problem. Sorry.
Now, this is where the story
gets... They smell money. They see Tiger Woods
exactly.
And they smell
money. Is it not enough...
Disgusting.
Is it not enough this guy has suffered the indignity of dying because of drunken driving incidents? Now
his family are grasping, disgusting slobs.
Now his family are reminding the world how embarrassing is what a drunkard he was. They're actually using the word drunkard.
Yeah, you see, that's greed on another level. I can't stand people like this. I really... It's like when you hear these stories of horrible tragedies in other families here in South Africa and you hear that... Well, all they were really after is some... If you pay them enough money, they'll let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just want cash for their dead relative. Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, unless these parents have actual footage of Tiger tying this guy down, forcing booze into his mouth, and then forcing him into his car.
Which there might be.
Well, Gareth, if there is, then go ahead. File the suit, make it happen. Otherwise, shut your whore mouth. The guy's doing a lot right now. He's trying to win a golf tournament. You are trying to just get damages because your son was a drunkard.
Your whore mouth.
Your words, not mine. Yes, yeah. Well, clearly, who else would say this kind of stuff? It's just dreadful. And finally, in the world of football, UEFA are really serious about banning Man City. Now, there was financial irregularities, or, you know, there's like a whole financial fair play, because there's obviously these teams that get brought up by Abu Dhabiists who have so much money gained by who knows how, and the other teams can't really compete. Now, the great irony is here that PSG and Man City haven't won the Champions League yet with all this money injection, but of course Man City are a good team. But UEFA say, look, there are issues here. Der Spiegel. Now, they've got balls like brass. They came out a long time ago and said, look, Man City, you guys are dodgy as all hell. You guys need to be banned. UEFA are investigating this along with the Premier League for irregularities. And back in 2014, let's not forget, City were fined, of course, €60 million and subjected to squad wage and spending caps because they were being bad boys. Now, UEFA are looking to actually ban them from the Champions League, whether it's next season or the season after. Not entirely sure at this stage, but this is not going away, unlike Ronaldo's rape, which we haven't heard much of. And quite surprisingly, we'll end it on Ronaldo's rape. Allegation, sorry.
Attempted. On that tone?
Yeah.
On that note?
Well, see, you've got to balance your sport, don't you? And that is it for your Wednesday. More on Friday.
All right. Very nice. Thank you. By the way, Bitcoin's at $7,991. Still looking good. And Ethereum at $226. Looking very good. So if you were watching those or you wanted an update, we're going to start something new from Monday next week, which will give you all the info on your cryptocurrencies just in time for a little uptick. Good news. All right, a quick message here. This is from somebody who says, I love listening to you guys. I've listened to every episode since day one. That's incredible.
Oh, hala, la.
Bloody well done.
That's I don't think I have. Ben, please give us some more shows that you like watching on Netflix. I enjoy everything you've suggested. Everything. Are this person's conduit, Ben.
No pressure now, Ben.
And then Michelle says, Sia is marinated in his perfume. Sharing is caring. Every time I hear Ben sing that Ed Sheeran song, I'm moved by his absolute sincerity.
No, Michelle, it's like he's in Musk at the moment. He's musking or something.
Say that.
It's hard.
Is it?
Sia. All right, let's do Said by Sia while Sia's smelling fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, Sia. Own it.
I still think it's good.
This is not the end of the world. This is a good thing. What do you got for us?
Hey, some good news from the medical world this morning.
What's that?
It's been hailed as the Holy Grail. That is a heart failure cure, actually, that could be helping a lot of people out there. Now, currently, people who have heart attacks are left with patches of scarring, which last forever and can lead to further heart failure and ultimately death. But thankfully, some top medical wizards are working at a heart failure cure that could be on the horizon after these scientists worked how to regenerate specialized cells in the muscles around the heart. So injecting this gene, which drives cell growth in people's infancy, could restore tissue which is damaged during a heart attack. Now, they've found this out through a study they've been doing on pigs, Nochal. And now, since we're kind of similar in odd ways, they think this could also work on humans. So scientists have failed to find a way to restore or remove this dead tissue and get the organ working normally again. But this discovery may change that, actually. So by restarting a growth process, which ends when people are babies, experts may be able to force the heart to rebuild itself and become healthy again within weeks. This is really impressive. So these are researchers from King's College London. They injected the gene into the hearts of pigs and found their heart function went back to normal within a month of a heart attack. And because of the similarities between pig and human hearts, scientists hope the same treatment could be given to people within a decade. Professor, who's the lead researcher on the study, says that it is a very exciting moment for the field after so many unsuccessful attempts at regenerating the heart using stem cells, which all have failed so far. For the first time, we see real cardiac repair in a large animal. So this is quite interesting. The pioneering treatment could one day offer hope for people suffering from heart failure, which is a deadly condition which affects more than 23 million people worldwide. Yeah, talk about changing the game, right? So kudos to King's College London for making strides in this. And let's see and hope for the best.
All right. Very nice. Thank you, Sia.
That's a sit by Sia for this morning.
Excellent. It's almost 7 o'clock. We're going to get to some other news stories, some things that are going on, some stuff that we think you need to hear about, and, of course, take your calls. We've also got a guy popping in. Sorry, is it a guy or a girl? It's a lady, Kerry, because you sometimes get guy Kerrys, right? Stress is something that affects every single one of us, especially for all of us in this country. You know, it's part of our daily lives, if you think about it.
Oy, unfortunately.
Considering we've just come out of an important election, our economy is up and down like a roller coaster, crime and corruption are everyday buzzwords. How stressed are you? Is there a way to measure this? What are the true costs of stress? Well, Kerry Rudman has worked on looking at the effects of stress, and she's going to pop in this morning to tell us a little bit about that. We'll talk about stress. If you're feeling hugely stressed this morning, this is just for you, so stick around. We will get you feeling a little bit better about yourself, and hopefully we'll also have a way for you to improve your, you know, your general demeanor. Are you stressed, Sia? Out of 10? Seriously.
No, out of 10, I'd say I have a healthy 4. The irony of saying it's a healthy 4. But, you know, it's just day to day.
4 out of 10?
Yeah, 4 out of 10.
Okay, it's a healthy 4. Then you're doing right.
It's manageable.
You're managing. Ben, what would you say your stress level's at?
After yesterday, much better, Gareth. I had a bit of a stress, and I went for a little checkup, which I'll tell you about in the next hour, which was quite interesting. But I'm feeling a lot less.
Adventures are always interesting.
A lot less stressed now.
All right. Well, that's excellent news, Ben. I'm glad to hear it. Get that stuff under control. All right. When we come back, we've got all of that and more for you.
This is CliffCentral.com.